The Book of John offers a unique perspective on Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The book recounts the miracles and teachings of Jesus to help readers see that Jesus is more than a human with godlike power and wisdom. He is God, the Son. It was written with one purpose, that readers may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, they may have life in union with Him.
Hey, good morning. Hope you guys are having a great morning. It's always so good to be with you on this Cedar Falls campus. Hello to everyone joining from home. I see some new faces, so let me introduce myself. My name is Steph Roller. I'm a volunteer teacher here at Orchard Hill Church, and I am so grateful that you're here this morning to celebrate this Palm Sunday with us. This is the day that Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem with the crowds cheering and praising and shouting, Hosanna! A word which is an expression of adoration and praise and joy, which also means save us, save us. And they're lining the streets waving palm branches, a symbol in the Mediterranean world of peace and eternal life, but also a symbol in the Jewish culture of freedom. And so all of these hopes and feelings, joy, adoration, peace, eternal life, freedom, the hope that Jesus will save them, were feelings expressed by this crowd who, for the moment anyway, recognized who Jesus was, the Son of God, the Messiah, their Savior. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And this is the start of the holiest and most influential week in all of human history. And next Sunday, we're going to celebrate Easter, the single most important day for Christians, as we celebrate that Jesus rescued us by his victory over death. But sometimes we hop from one celebration to the next, one Sunday to the next, and we forget there's a middle to this Holy Week. And when we do that, we can miss some really important things. It's like if you ate an Oreo cookie and you only appreciated the chocolatey outsides, and you didn't even recognize that there was a filling. And the filling is the best part. And don't argue with me about that, because they make double stuff Oreos, not double chocolates. So let's not miss the middle. This is our holiest week. Christ died for us. Let's take time this week to remind ourselves of what happened. And we can do that by attending the Maundy-Thursday service or one of the Good Friday services. Or maybe you're going to watch the movie The Passion of the Christ. Or maybe, here's a good thing to do, read John 13 through 20 this week for yourselves. Now, I know that sounds like a lot, right? 13 through 20, seven chapters. In my Bible, that's only about 10 pages. Just a couple of pages a day, and you will have experienced the filling of the story and not just the bookends. One spoiler for you, if you dive into the filling, some of these people who are so passionate about Jesus today on Palm Sunday, some of them fall away. And within a few days, they are calling for him to be put to death. They no longer recognize him as the Messiah, the Savior. Why? What happened to them? Well, they stopped hearing his voice, and they let the voices of the politics of the day and voices of hatred and fear drown him out. And that leads me back to my teaching today from our current series in the book of John. Now, I need us to remember that John is one of Jesus' closest friends, and he wrote this account of Jesus' life very late in his own life, maybe around the age of 80 or so. And so, having gained wisdom and perspective, he concentrates on only the most important things. His writing is concise and to the point, and that's why we won't have any trouble reading John 13 through 20 this week. And I can't think of a better chapter to lead us into Easter than John chapter 10. The context of this chapter is that Jesus has just healed a blind man, and he's arguing with the Pharisees about the incident. Of course, they're more interested in what rules have been broken than in celebrating restored sight. And Jesus says to them that they're basically spiritually blind. They don't recognize who he is. And so as chapter 10 begins,
He's still talking with these guys. He hasn't given up. And he's trying to get them to understand who he is by using a metaphor that should be really familiar to them, both in their culture and in their scriptures. A shepherd and a flock of sheep. Now, I actually know some friends who still raise sheep, and for a short time, some neighbor grazed some sheep on our land. But most of us today, including me, we aren't really that familiar with them. So let's talk through this metaphor, what it means for us today. And here we go with Jesus trying to open the eyes of the Pharisees. We're in John chapter 10, first five verses. "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." So imagine a big flock of sheep. And they're wandering all over the hills and pastures, just living their lives. They're eating, pooping, growing their wool, making baby sheep. And the shepherd watches over them. But sometimes at night, or for whatever reason, he gathers them together in a safe place, the sheep pen. And it was common for several flocks of sheep to be gathered into the same pen where they would get all mixed up together. Now, when he wants to come and get his sheep again, he just opens the gate and he walks in. He isn't climbing over the fence or sneaking in by some back entrance. He doesn't have to do that. Anyone who is entering the sheep pen in any other way than through the front gate is up to no good. A thief, a sheep thief. But when the real shepherd enters the pen, how does he get his sheep unmixed from all the rest? Well, he just calls out to the sheep. They recognize his voice, they know him, and they follow him out. Different flocks of sheep, even though they're being kept together, will only respond to the shepherd's voice that they know and trust. And in this sheep and shepherd metaphor, Jesus is trying to explain to the Pharisees and to us that he is the shepherd, and we, his followers, are his sheep. And there are some thieves and robbers that are trying to steal the sheep away, but they're safe because they only listen to his voice. He calls them, he goes ahead, and they follow. Now, as I said, I don't really know very much about sheep, but when we had them grazing our pasture, they did not respond to me calling to them. And I tried. I stood like an idiot by the fence, yelling to the sheep, "They're so cute, I'd like them to come over." But they just completely ignored me or even moved further away. And so while I think this is a beautiful metaphor, I've kind of struggled with this idea that sheep are just gonna follow their shepherd's voice. But I want you to watch this video. Now, the people in the video are going to look just as stupid as I did standing by the fence. What I want you to pay attention to are the sheep.
One more time.
Oh, one.
Look at them.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
They're coming.
Oh, my.
amazing. One more.
Was that cool or what?
Those sheep, they didn't even look up for other voices, just like when I tried to call the sheep in our pasture. Not even a glance, but when the real shepherd called, they looked right up and they came running. And because they recognized their master's voice, they were not easily lured by an imposter. And it's pretty obvious to me that Jesus is saying to us, hey, learn to recognize my voice. Follow me when I call to you and stay away from those who want to steal you away from me. Don't listen to imposters. Now, I know that in this room, we have people on all different paths of their faith journey. Some of us are so in tune to Jesus' voice that you don't even look up when anyone else calls. And some of us wonder, why the heck would I listen to Jesus' voice anyway? We have a lot of voices telling us their way is the best way, don't we? Don't we have a lot of voices competing for our attention, our trust, and our loyalty? So if you don't yet belong to Jesus' flock, why should you listen to him? And if you do, how do you get better at hearing only him? And why are we following him anyway? Where are we going? To complicate things a little bit, Jesus has thrown in this second metaphor, okay? So we've got sheep and shepherd, thieves and robbers. We've got Pharisees who are spiritually blind, and we have John, one of Jesus' best friends, who only concentrates on the most important thing, telling us, hey, I took the time to write this down. You have to understand this story. So we have a lot to make sense of. I want you to stay with me by doing this. I want you to imagine right now that we are all in the middle of a sheep pen together. What voices do you hear competing with Jesus? And how well do you hear him? Because we are surrounded by voices, aren't we? Voices of thieves and robbers out to try and steal us away from our real shepherd. Voices like greed that tell me I should follow the money and I will have a better life than my shepherd can give me. Voices like addictions that say they will make my world better. Voices of temporary pleasures. Voices like jealousy, revenge, self-centeredness. Voices of false prophets, people who distort the gospel for their own gain. Do you hear these voices? Voices that play on my fears. Even my own voice sometimes telling me I'm not good enough. Are these some of the thieves and robbers that Jesus is talking about? Yes. Do they make it hard for you to hear him? Jesus who says those things won't satisfy you, I'm the only one who can. Jesus who says you are enough. You don't have to earn my love. I died for you when you were full of sin. Jesus who says, don't be afraid. I am with you always. But it can be hard to hear his voice among all the rest. And don't worry yet if you are having trouble hearing him. The people celebrating Palm Sunday got distracted by other voices. And the Pharisees in our story are having trouble hearing Jesus too. And it should have been really easy for them to understand this metaphor because no doubt these religious rule followers knew their own scriptures very, very well. The use of sheep and shepherd are all throughout the Jewish scripture. You probably know some of these too. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Isaiah in chapter 40 has this beautiful passage about the Lord, and he's referring to him when he says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs to his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. The prophets Zechariah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah all warned that without a proper shepherd, the flock, the people of Israel, would be scattered and unprotected. But the Pharisees remained stubbornly blind and did not understand what he was trying to tell them, even though they should have been very familiar with the idea that the Lord is our shepherd. They're still having such a hard time that Jesus gets more direct in verse 9, and he says this, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved or kept safe. They will come in and go out and find pasture. They'll have a life," is what he's saying. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So Jesus says he's come to give you life to the full. Awesome. But wait a minute. A lot of those other voices that we were talking about, they promise those things too, don't they? More money, that'll give me a full life, won't it? The latest beauty product or procedure will help me find true love or make me happy. And I don't have to worry about Jesus to live forever. Science can make me live forever as a cryogenic popsicle. How do I know that Jesus is really our true shepherd? What makes his voice more trustworthy and unique than all the other voices that we hear? Well, Jesus explains in verse 11. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus laid down his life for us, his flock. And I don't know any of those other voices that would lay down their life for me. But Jesus, the God of creation, he not only said he would, he did. And it is one of the things that makes his voice so unique and more trustworthy. A few other things that make Jesus absolutely unique. He offers the chance for everyone to become a part of his flock. Anyone who wants to learn to recognize his voice. And he is the only one offering us forgiveness, acceptance, redemption, and a full life at no cost to you. You can't earn it, and you can't pay for it. No other voice, no other faith, no other worldly temptation offers so much for so little. And in case you didn't believe what he said in verse 11, he repeats it for us in verse 14 when he says again, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I laid down my life for the sheep." If you're a skeptic about Jesus, as I used to be, would you at least give enough credibility to someone who literally died for his friends to give Jesus a chance? Would you at least look into what he has to say? I know he wants you to become a part of his flock, because he told another story about sheep that Matthew recorded. And Matthew recorded it in chapter 18, and he said, Jesus said, "If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than the 99 that did not wander off." Jesus not only laid down his life for us, he is out finding any of us who are missing or have wandered away. And when he finds us, he celebrates. So if you're lost or you've wandered away, he's calling to you. Can you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? Well, you might ask, what does he sound like? Well, to me, he sounds like forgiveness and freedom and direction and understanding and being fully known and fully loved anyway. Sometimes his voice feels like rest and sometimes like encouragement to get out of my comfort zone. But if you have never heard it, I can't explain exactly how it sounds any more than I could try to explain to you what the unique voices of Bruce Springsteen or Willie Nelson or Prince sound like. You just have to put on some headphones to experience those voices. And once you do, I guarantee you'll never mix up Bruce or Willie or Prince with anyone else. And Jesus wants us to get to know his voice so well, we would never mistake it, never be tricked by someone else calling to us, to be so sure of it that we are like those sheep in our video who didn't even glance up when someone else called out. And so we have to experience Jesus to know his unique voice too. And we can do that together on Sundays. We can listen to gospel music. You could watch The Chosen. You could talk about it with friends and in small groups. But the truth is that it is essential that we engage the Bible, especially the Gospels, where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote his voice down for us to experience 2,000 years after his death. It's recorded for us to enjoy anytime, and it's the most listened to voice in the history of the world. Look, I actually love to come up here and teach and help us engage the Bible and think about things together, but I'm not Jesus. You're hearing him filtered through my voice. And even though my goal as a teacher is to get out of the way so that you can only hear and see Jesus, I can't totally remove myself. It's impossible. And that's why I encourage you to go and read John 10 for yourselves. So I'm not in the way, because I want you to be careful that my voice or any other doesn't suddenly become the voice you hear and follow in place of his. Engage the Bible. It's worth the effort. And it's one of our core values. So if you need help with exactly how to do that, we have all kinds of resources for you. Or if you get stuck in the filling of John 13 through 20 this week, Holy Week reading, if you have a question, you can just email me through our church website. I'll try to help you figure it out. Okay? And we sure give plenty of other voices a lot of prime time, don't we? How much time do we spend listening to podcasts and music, movies, shows, news feeds, or coffee shop know-it-alls? We are giving them a lot of space and time in our heads. What kind of voices are they? Jesus told us back in verse 5 that not only should we learn his voice, but we should learn to run away from thieves and robbers. Well, what do they sound like? Well, a lot of things. But here's a few things to be careful of. Watch out for voices that promise things at a cost or that have a hidden cost. Your addiction might temporarily block out your pain, but maybe at the cost of your health, your safety, or your family. Watch out for voices that try to sound like the gospel, but they're self-serving, using the name of God for their own personal gain. Jesus is not self-serving. No one self-serving dies for another. Watch out for voices of hatred. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. They will know you're my followers if you love one another." And the more you get to know Jesus' voice, the easier it will be to spot the imposters. So, if we have decided to give Jesus a listen, and maybe we've even gotten pretty good at hearing him, where are we following him to? Well, he already said we're following to a full life. Life to the full, he calls it. But that life, it's more than just our temporary existence here. He tells us so in verse 27. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." And next week at Easter, we're going to celebrate that Jesus overcame death, someplace we will all follow. And then he returned from death and returned to the Father. He went ahead and prepared a place for us there. Do you remember what he said at the beginning of our teaching today? He said, "He calls his own sheep by name. And he leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, just like he did for us. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice." And he tells us where we're going in John 14. He says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going." Yes, we know the way. Jesus is the way. Just follow him. He's our shepherd. He goes ahead, and where he goes, we go. So those questions I asked at the beginning, What makes Jesus' voice unique? Why should we get good at hearing it? Why should we care? Where are we going anyway? The answer to all of those questions is this: because he is the good shepherd. He is the one and only who laid down his life for us so that we may have life to the full, not only here, but in eternity. He's the one who went ahead of us and prepared a room so that we can go home. And that's what we celebrate and remember and give thanks for this Holy Week. We give thanks and pray with me. Father God, thank you that you sent us the good shepherd, the one who laid down his life for us at no cost to us. Amazing, amazing love. It's a voice we can trust. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, forgive us when we are distracted by other voices, when we fail to hear you. Help our ears to be in tune with you. Help us to recognize when you speak. Help us to move and follow you wherever you lead us. We pray all this in your holy name, and we pray that God's will be done in our lives. Amen.